Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Welcome into the house of the Lord. We had a great, wonderful service yesterday. A lot of people joined us, and it was wonderful yesterday morning. Great crowd. And then last night, we had a few people, and that was equally as wonderful. It was just an amazing, amazing service, the word that Maribel brought forth last night. Pastor Ken's not with us tonight, and when he's not here, I pretty much do what I want. And so I made a decision that I want you to hear from my son-in-law. He has a powerful, powerful testimony. I believe it's powerful. He's gonna come and share his testimony. I want to tell you that you really are in the right place for the right season and the right time, especially at the beginning of the year, because how you start a year is how you're likely to end a year, and how you end a year is likely how you start the year. But I believe that you're here for a greater reason. I believe that you're here because you want more of God. Now, if you're listening to me carefully, you're going to hear the words that I didn't say. I didn't say you want more from God. I said you want more of God. And that's why you're here. A lot of people want things from God, but they don't want more of God. And there's a huge, huge difference. And I believe that you're that people, that you want more of God, because you're going above and beyond. So Dan is going to come, and he's going to share, because the steps of the righteous are definitely ordered of the Lord. And God always confirms his word in our life. And when you live righteous, you cannot even escape the blessing of the Lord. You can try and say, God, don't bless me. Bless someone else. And you can't get away from it, because he'll give you so much blessing that you won't even have hands and arms enough to contain it. So Dan, if you would just please come and share your testimony, because I know it's going to bless people.
Thank you, Pastor Pam. A lot of you know, God has blessed me, but I love blessing people. You know, I don't know, like when you're given a gift, Tony knows, like you have a skill and you're able to help people. There's more of a blessing in that than anything. And it goes beyond money. It goes beyond anything. It's just something inside your spirit that says you got to bless, you know, and help. And it's just God, you know, in us, you know, just speaking out through whatever gifts God has given you, you know. And if you don't know me, my name is Dan Mahalski. I've been coming to this church for quite a long time. I've been working at my job previously now for my previous job, which I left. I started there in 1997 of March. So it's been a while. I think 25 years I was there. I started in the automotive industry in 1995 when I got out of high school. You know, I wanted to become an automotive tech. For some reason, the rest of my family delivered mail. I didn't want to be a mail person. I felt like working with my hands was more interesting, and breaking things and fixing things was cool. That's what I did. I used to break a lot of watches and then try and fix them. Never was successful. But, you know, I'm better at cars. So praise God for that. So this testimony is basically condensed into 2 months. It started at the beginning of November, and it kind of just ended really a couple days ago, as God has been speaking to me through the last 2 months. And I want to say thank you to my wife, Sandra, for putting up with me for the last month and a half, because I must have asked her a million times, is this right? Is this wrong? Is this right? I don't know. And I think I drove her up the wall. She was my rock, and I spoke to her greatly, and I'm thankful for my wife. So thank you, Sandra. So, and I'll start my testimony. At the beginning of November, my dealer, known as Rogers Auto Group, sold to another company known as the Napleton Group. I did work for Napleton at the beginning of my career in 1995, and it wasn't good. It set a tone in my heart for something that was very wrong. I didn't like the company. I didn't like the owners. I didn't like the people there. It was very hard. It was very cold. It was very frustrating. That went on for about a year and a half. I was laid off. And then at that six-month period of time, I remember asking the Lord, what do you want me to do, Father? Where am I going to go? You know, I thought this was it. I remember taking a test actually for the postal system. I passed. You know, I could have become a worker if I wanted, you know, but I didn't. So my dad's like, well, why don't you try the mechanic test? So I did, you know, and I'm a hotshot kid out of school. I think I know what I'm doing. I went to school for 2 years to do this, and I flunked the test with flying colors. I mean, it was, you know, and I came home, and I thank God for a praying mom, because my mom's prayed through so many different things with me, and I remember those words. She's like, Daniel, you know, God has something for you, but this is not it, you know. Even though you wanted it, it just is not it. You know, it's like, trust in the Lord, you know. For those 3 months, I was extremely depressed. I sat down in the basement. I didn't do much, didn't work. You know, it was very frustrating. So my mom's like, you know, you got to go out and do something. So I'm like, okay, Ma, I'll go throw, you know, they're like, you know, there's this dealership that's close by the house that lived in Bridgeport. So I went there. I put in my papers. God so happened to be, and this is God's story, that the person that was working there was leaving from the same group I was in, ASEP, Automotive Service Excellence Programs, where I trained, and was leaving to go to the Army. You know, as my old boss, Pat, said, she's like, this guy's going to do a lube job on tanks. We'd like for you to take your shoes. Would you like to come? I'm like, hey, you know, here I am, you know, willing, able, and let's go. That started the journey of 25 years of being there, you know, multiple different managers, but the same owner for 25 years. And I've stayed loyal to that owner for a long time. I grew deep roots at this place. I had many friendships. In fact, my friendships grew to where I've met so many Christian men, good men, strong men. It's very difficult to leave this place. Dwayne Parks, a good man of God, his brother, Derek Parks. I mean, we would hold hands together in the middle of this place and pray in Jesus' name and plead the blood of Christ over the dealership. We would pray and do walks because of the gun violence. And we would pray and we would plead the blood of Jesus. And we didn't get to anointing oil, but we were, you know, I ran out of time at this point. But, you know, me and Dwayne, he is a man of God. And God put me there for a time and a place and a purpose. And I know Dwayne's there and his brother is there, and they're both strong men of God. And it's amazing how God brings us fellowship together, you know, with different believers, you know, in different areas, you know, and they're a different color to me. You know, they're black gentlemen, they're African American, and I love those guys like they're my family, you know. And I got to see their father, he passed away, I went to his wake, and I got to know their mom is an awesome cook. And those men are more than just, they're like family to me. And I don't know if you understand that, but when you grow up, it's 25 years and you spend with people, they become family. It's not your coworkers. These are people you live with, sweat with, bleed with, and pray with, and do so much with. It's unbelievable. And I can't believe God allowed me to have these relationships with so many strong men of God. And they've strengthened me. I've strengthened them. And we've talked even through this whole ordeal that I went through, and I'm going to share with you much as fast as I can. It's a lot, but I'll try and condense it. But we all knew that there was a possibility of selling. You know, the rumors were high. And when year 2022 hit, it proved to be the year when it really happened. And the sale went through. And the Napleton Group took over at the beginning of December, which was December 1st. In my spirit, I was very upset. I worked for, as I said, this owner. His name was Monty Scher, for over 25 years, working as a GM mechanic at first, and then it kind of ventured off into Hyundai and Genesis, and I worked on those for over 25 years also. And over the next month of November, the rumors from all the employees started, okay? Because I don't know if you've ever been through something like this, but guys get crazy, and I work with all guys. And I took the reins of the union steward at my job. My job's union. A lot of jobs here in Chicago are union. So I kind of said, I want to protect these guys. I want to be the union steward because I was one of the eldest in the group, you know, as far as being there the longest. And I didn't know what was coming, but when this came down, everybody came to me. Endless questions, you know. It was crazy, you know, and everything was negative. And all things were negative. Like, there's no hope to be had. And the cup was not half full, but half empty. And I had all these questions, but no idea, no answers to them. Because I, too, was in this ship that was sailing that I didn't know where it was going. I couldn't answer any of these questions, you know. And I was just doing this for 4 months. I didn't even have the class yet. I was signed up for January, which I probably ain't going now because I'm at a different dealer. But this is the truth. You know, everyone was asking me, what's going to happen? This, that, and the other. In fact, when I didn't have the questions, people were screaming at me because, you know, I'm the guy. I'm supposed to know. And I'm like, dude, I'm in the boat with you. I don't know. Whatever you know, I know. You know, and that's what was going on. And it was very upsetting for me during this month of November. So I asked my wife, you know, multiple times, I said earlier, about staying or leaving for another job. And she said, stay. Stay for a couple months. See how it goes. You know, don't rush. You know, but as I took her advice, I would listen. But I don't know if you know, but if our spirit inside of us, you know, like, it was restless in me. I you know, and like, I don't know if that was, but I know what it was. It was my spirit speaking to me. I couldn't sleep. I was very unsettled. The first 2 weeks, there was no sleeping hardly at all. I stopped eating. You lose appetite. You know, it's like, I don't have much weight to lose, and I started losing weight. Guys at work were like, what's wrong? Are you losing weight? Some guys lose weight. Well, I was talking to one of my friends. He's like, well, when I get nervous, I eat. So he was gaining weight. So, like, everybody was messed up in the place. You know, I was like, you gain, I lose. So I'm like, this is where everyone was. It was very difficult. It was a hard time. And I love my job. And my attitude started to change about what I was doing. Kind of dreaded going to work. And it started to become a drag, you know, over the next couple weeks. And I knew something in me was not right. But I also had my son working with me. The last year and a couple months has been tremendous. I don't know if you know, but my son Caleb started working with me. I got him on board because why? We need the help. There's no one helping. And Tony knows. There's a massive need out there for anything right now, any job. And I pulled him in. And this also strained on me tremendously as I've been working with him at the dealer for a year and a half together. And I also started asking God, what should I do? You know, this incorporates not only me, but my son Caleb. You know, and I'm praying and asking, and I'm praying a lot. I'm praying a lot. And I'm also asking God, I'm like, Lord, if it's your will, I want to hear you. I want to hear something. Just speak to me. Say something. You know, tell me yes, no, go, stay, anything. I had silence, okay? And I'm telling you the truth. I had nothing. I had silence. But what we'll get there. And my spirit led me to a friend that I made many, many years ago, and probably over 20 years ago on Hyundai, as I work now for Hyundai. His name is Young Jae. He's a Korean. But previous to this, as I stated, when I switched over from General Motors to Hyundai, and as I stated, I flunked that postal test to be an automotive, you know. As I thought that was my career, God had something else for me. He put me where I needed to be for this period of time. And I also was put there to become this technician that, you know, that God wanted me to be. But also, it led to me being elected to go to this Olympics thing that I remember in my life. I got to go to Korea from Hyundai. And they sent me to do these Olympic challenges and fix cars that, you know, the Koreans would break. And, you know, I was like, you know, on purpose, you know, and they're like, you fix. And I'm like, okay. And that was the whole thing, you know, and I did okay. I didn't win the gold medal because it was an Olympics. But I don't know what I got, I forgot the prize, what it was, but it wasn't what they wanted us to get. They were mad that we didn't win the gold, you know, because the Americans should have won, but the Chinese won, you know. So I was like, that's okay, you know, because they actually went to that school. That was in Korea, so I figured it was cheating, but hey, that's the side point there. But God led me through all of this and blessed me tremendously working there. I've met, again, so many friends. I've made endless friends at the dealer. Mostly of my friends are African-American friends. All my customers I deal with are, oh, my God. When I called up one of my friends, he was crying to me on the phone. Like, who am I going to trust? Who am I going to go to now, Dan? Why? You know, he was just, like, going up. You just ruined my day off. Like, I am so sorry I called you. I said, I'm just calling you to let you know. I'm just giving you, you know, the heads up. You know, it's because I love you. These people would bring me food. These people would bring me, you know, every Christmas stuff, you know, money, you know, Mr. Medea and all different people. It's amazing. And I feel like not even working on cars, it's just like I would be friends and just speak to them, you know, and as being a good Christian, just saying, hey, how you doing? What's going on in your life? You know, is there anything? And that's who I am and who I was. Touched so many people that way. you know. And God led me to this, and it's been unbelievable, and it's been a journey. And I prayed in my spirit. I said, God, I said, I'm going to call Young Jay, and I did. You know, he's a field engineer for Hyundai. And I asked him, I said, look, I've been working here for 2 decades. I said, is there any place, you know, hiring? Because previous to this, I've actually talked to Fred and Tony before, and he called me before wanting me to change jobs. He said, why are you still there? Why, you know, there's more places to make more money and so on and so forth. And I said, well, I'm loyal to this person. I love the owner. I want to stay. It's been a good place. And he said, okay, fine. I talked to Tony about it too before. I was offered a lot of money. And same thing about this place, and I'll get to it. And I talked to him, and immediately, once I sent him that text, within a minute, he sends back and fires his texts. Here's a number. Call this guy. Oh, and by the way, I already talked to him about you. You're good. He's like, just call him. I'm like, holy cow. You know, I was like, all right. You know, I'm favor. Unbelievable. You know? So I call, and he responds. He called me before, you know, like I said, other job opportunities, but I was very loyal. So I contacted Young Jay on November 15th during lunch. It was 12:19 p.m. And again, I just told you what he told me. I get the text. I called the number the next day. His name is John Wagner. I said, okay, November 15th, I text him. He said, you know, he's a service manager at this new place called Hyundai Darcy. It's just in Joliet, 22 minutes from my house. As I checked it today, as I drove, it was amazing. Today, on Friday, November 18th, I got to meet him. I said, hey, can I meet you? Can I come down there and talk to you? I meet up with this gentleman. 45 minutes, we sit down. He knew everybody that I knew from like 1997, 98, 99, all the way up to when I grew up in Hyundai. And he's like, hey, I was a tech too, and so on and so forth. Told me his whole story. I told him my whole story. He just knows everything I know. So I'm like, wow, that's pretty amazing. Never met a service manager like that before. Very cool. 45 minutes went by like that. I was like, this is amazing, Lord. So he knew everybody, all my teachers, so on and so forth. I said, 10 to 15 years. I didn't know it was a union job. He told me it's a union job. That was another surprise. You know, check mark for God right there. I was like, okay, Lord, there it is right there. And him telling me all this stuff, that was another check mark, Lord. I said, I hear you. Well, the 2 weeks go by, and I said, give me 2 weeks. Let me think about it. You know, I hear all this. I said, okay, 2 weeks go by. Me and my wife now are preparing ourselves to go. You know, it was her birthday coming up December 3rd. My mom's birthday, December 4th. He calls me December 5th. Hey, you know, I remember, I think we were just leaving or we just got home. I think we got home. And he calls me up and he's like, you coming? You want to come? I said, okay, Lord. I said, okay, check. I said, I hear that. But in the back of my head, I was afraid. I'm like, I said, you know what? I'm okay, because I talked to the new group, and I said, they're going to make my son an apprentice, so on and so forth. I said, you know what? I think I'm going to hold on and say I'm going to wait. And when I said that, my spirit got worse. The sleeplessness got worse. I had nothing to eat. I just didn't care to eat. I would skip breakfast. I would skip lunch. I would come home and barely eat anything. My body was really frustrating me. And when I told my mom this, you know, my mom was just screaming at me, you need to go, it's over, just stop, you know, stop fighting it, we're praying for you. You know, I'm like, okay, Mom, I hear you. You know, she started getting in Italian, started screaming at me. And I'm like, calm down. You know, I said, Ma, she's like, you know what you got to do. I'm like, I can make a lot of money, Ma. You know, I'm trying to balance things out in my mind and with the Lord, and my spirit is just going nuts. And I put these prayers down purposely because I wrote these prayers out December 7, 2022. It was actually December 9th after a lot of this was going on. I said, thank you, Jesus, December 7th for today. I pray to hear your voice so clearly about work. But, Lord, you move me or I stay. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. December 8th rolls around, and a bad situation at my job happens. There was a shooting a block from my job. It's just, I don't know who it was. It could have been a man or a woman. It was just shot in the head. 2 bullets, 1 down. The person's down. I'm coming out with the car. I see the cop cars. We didn't know what was going on. I pull into the used car lot, and I was talking to Victor, our general manager, and he's like, I heard the bullet zing past my head. It was two shots, one missed, the other one hit, and the person's down. I said, well, was it dead? We didn't know. Well, the person was dead. You know, the red tape, the yellow tape, and all of that happened in the city of Chicago. I was like, oh, my God, Lord. I was like, and I prayed. I said, Lord, I said, I want to hear. And my mom's group has been praying for me. And also, because I told that to my mom, and we've been praying for that person who got killed and whoever family that was, because this is the city of Chicago, and we need to pray for the city, because this city is in hurt. It's in tremendous pain, and Tony knows, Frieda knows, and me working in Bronzeville for 25 years, it's a difficult area, you know, and the people there are beautiful, but there's bad apples that contaminate, and we need to pray for those people and the families that are suffering in the city. You know, and we see it firsthand sometimes that we are working in the city, because I love the city of Chicago, and I love the Bronzeville area. I love Chicago. I love the South Loop, I lived in Bridgeport most of my life. So December 9th rolls around, and, you know, check mark, I hear that, Lord. My spirit's going nuts, you know, and I pray again. You know, I write this down. I'm like, dear God, I pray you give me the correct answer from where to work. You know, I am listening for your voice, you know, your spirit to show me, Lord, where you want me to go. Lead me, Father. Jesus, please, I ask. Amen. I write this down again in my phone. And, you know, a couple days go by, another week goes by, and then December 19th rolls around. And, you know, by now, I really got to make my move. It's getting close to the end of the year. And one of these union men come in, and they start talking to the guys, and I've been beaten down, and I'm like, I want to stay. And this gentleman, Wally, comes around, and he starts telling all the guys at work what's going to happen, so on and so forth. I pull him aside afterwards, and I'm like, can I ask you a question? I said, I'm thinking about moving, and I want to move here to this place, Darcy. And previous to this conversation, I actually talked to him on the phone. God led me to this man through another person through the union. He actually worked on Hyundais too. It's weird. And we ended up talking for like another half hour, this gentleman, Wally. So I got to meet him, so I kind of trusted him, and I asked him. And he told me something that was another check mark from the Lord. He's like, this place that you're going to is a different pension. I said, well, what do you mean? I said, it's all the same. He's like, no, it's not. He's like, this is a better pension. He's like, this one is triple what you're making. And I was like, oh, my. It just was like, boom. You know, I was like, you're kidding me. You know, Lord speaking again. I said, check mark, Lord. That was it. And I said, I put my faith in that. I was like, Lord, I'm going to look towards the future and not for the present. And I didn't burn any bridges at my job. I listened to everyone that was there, to all these new owners. They loved me. Because they can see, like this guy is a leader, and they want me to stay. And they offered me so much unbelievable amount of money. I just had to say thank you. But I said no, because I just felt in my spirit it was time to go. The Lord was leading me somewhere else, probably to bless another place, to pour out my spirit among other people, to reach other people. And the last day, the guys threw me a party, and they bought me like all the food that we would buy that our owner, old owner, used to buy. And every one of those guys came up to me, and they hugged me, and they were like, thank you, Dan. Thank you, Dan. And the lady, Julie, that was there, she's one of the managers. She runs like multiple dealers. She looks at me, and she's like, can I just give you a hug? I don't know why. I'm like, sure, you know, and I give her a hug, and all the guys just keep coming up to me, telling me stuff, you know, and she looks at me again. She's like, yeah, can I get your number? You know, I want your number, and here's my number. Can I give you another hug? And she gave me another hug again. I was like, sure, you know, I was like, that's fine. You know, I gave her a hug, and, you know, the guys, it's just tremendous to see the impact in men's lives, you know, that any of us can make. If we're just a willing vessel, just to, you know, be that vessel for God. I didn't know. I was just there doing my job, fixing cars, all the way, you know, fixing people. It's crazy. And well, me and Sandra went to Minocqua. This was the icing on the cake. I have a shirt back there. hoodie. It has the name of the dealer on it, you know, on the front and the back. So we went to the Island Cafe. Dave knows where that's at. It's in Minocqua. And we're sitting there for breakfast on January 5th, you know, because I made my decision right. I put my 2 weeks in. I moved on and took a little vacation, moved my tools. This gentleman says, "Do you work at Darcy?" Didn't know him at all. I said, "Well, no, I don't." I said, "I'm going to start working there January 9th. He's like, "Oh, that's a good place. There's good people. You'll love it." Yeah, I had no concerns. Like, kept on going on about how great the thing, good people, good owners, and so on and so forth. Okay, I said, "Thank you." You know, I said, "Thank you, Lord." Check. Then the next day, Friday, me and Sandra go to this place called the Pines Country Club. You know, nice place, dressed up a little bit, get some fish fries, Friday fish fry. Sandra's like, "Dan, some old guy's just staring at me." You know, just staring at me. I'm like, "I don't know." I was like, "What, you know, maybe in Wisconsin? I don't know. Whatever. It's weird, you know." And then he walks over here. He's a little bit, you know, older, kind of in a pusher, and had a hard time communicating. "You work at Darcy?" At this time, I'm like, "You know what, Lord?" I said, "Yes, I do. I do." "Oh, that's a good place. That's good people. I bought multiple cars, so on and so forth." About just going on and on. I'm like, I said, I hear you, Lord. I hear you, Lord. I hear you crystal clear now, Lord. I said, "Thank you, Lord." "Thank you, Lord." Just complete strangers. Never met him in my life. Just, I think God was speaking to me. I know God was speaking to me then. And God's voice was crystal clear. So I want to say thank you to everyone who's been praying for me. You know, everyone here who knows about my story. I mean, my mom and my dad, my wife, Dave and Pam. I mean, our men's chat. Brother, I've talked to a multitude of people. I said, where I can find wisdom, I'm going to pull it. Sister Debbie, I just spoke to anybody I can get wisdom out of and just listen, you know, and hear. And I felt like I was Gideon, you know. I just kept on asking God, you know, the fleece, Lord, I'll flip it around. You dry it. Now that's wet and dry and, you know, it's like, am I going to change, yes or no? It's like, you know, Gideon goes into battle with only 300 because it's not Gideon's power. It's through the power of God. You know, it's through his faith. And my faith has been strengthened through this whole 2 months, and I hope this story strengthens your faith, because we all are in a faith walk, and we all have to trust. And sometimes we don't see and we don't hear, but I know the Holy Spirit guides us where we go, protects us, and we have to heed to the Spirit in our heart. And release and say, "Lord, I feel it. Yes, Lord. Holy Spirit, guide me, show me, lead me, and I will follow." So, amen.
Thank you, Dan. I just felt like that you would all be so very blessed by that testimony of what one person do and what you know, sometimes we think we're just ordinary, but God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things, and what he does in our lives, sometimes we don't realize what an impact we make on the people around us until something like that happens. And those guys had to say goodbye to Dan, and I'm going to follow it up by this, by saying, this, we need more men like Dan Mahowski in this. We really do. I'm going to share something real briefly with you that as Dan was speaking that just came back to me. Dave and I also recently went on a very short trip to Indiana, and something very awful and sad happened at the end of our visit. I was with my friend Felicia, and most of you girls know Felicia. Her son is the one who died in prison. And she said, she kind of started to cry to Dave and I, and she said, "Can I have just a minute to talk to you? I just need a minute. She was troubled all through our dinner. And she said, she laid out the story for us. Felicia goes to a very large church. It's about 1,500 people in Indiana. And her pastor is known all over. I will not call his name, but he is known all over, even the world. Travels, he's built up a ministry from the ground up, literally with his son, and he's going to go to prison for abusing young girls, and as is his son, likely to go to prison. Everyone's not who you think they are. And one of the things that someone said to me, which was interesting to me, a man of God said to me, he said, "Do you understand now why God is allowing women to be used?" And so when I see someone like Dan, and I see Tony and my Dave, and I see Alan and Willie and Gio, all of them, it really blesses me. It should bless all of us to hear Dan's testimony and what that God is raising up. There's still godly men that you can go to, that you can trust, that are going to do the right thing, that are going to seek God with all their heart. And Dan's prayers, asking God, you know, help me make this decision, be with me, and the impact that they can make. So in the last days, God's going to raise us all up who are willing, that he's going to pour out his spirit on the women and the men and the children and all of us. And God is really faithful. We don't have our musicians here tonight to close us out, but I'm not going to teach tonight at all. What Dan said was sufficient, and it's wonderful. I am going to share you a very brief testimony of something God's doing in my life, and that is going to be on a Sunday morning very, very soon. God gave me a message called In the Presence of Mine Enemies, and it's not what you think at all. Going back some years, Sarah Hernandez had a dream about me and my daughter Sandra and a bunch of you in this church. And she said, "Pastor Pam, your hair was all disheveled and you had on all white, but you were a waitress. And there were tables and tables and tables just literally all over this church. There were tables everywhere. They were covered in white cloths and you were having people serve. Go over here, serve this, serve this." We were all just serving food. And I never, ever thought about that dream until God started speaking to me the other day and gave me the message that in the presence of mine enemies. And then I seen a thing today that said that I will prepare a table for you in the presence of mine enemies. And the Holy Spirit started speaking and saying, that's not what you think it is. What everyone thinks that is, when you hear that verse, I will prepare a table for you in the presence of my enemies, is so that you can sit at a table and you can enjoy all the bounty that God gives and all the abundance and all the blessing. And all the people around you, all your haters and all the world around you can go, and you can sit there and go, ha, 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 ha. I got a table. God got a table for me. Look at me sitting up here all pretty at my table, and I got all this stuff from God. And you out there, you don't like me? Well, guess what? You get to watch me. And then the Lord gave me a verse and reminded me of my teaching on the showbread. And this is the verse he gave me, Romans 12:20. "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." Here's the thing. God's prepared a table for us so that we can invite other people to the table. So that those people that don't like you or that you don't like, or those people that are strangers that are hungry, and I don't mean just hungry for food, those people that are hungry out there can come to your table, that you can invite them to the table. Not so you can sit there and eat and they get nothing from it, except God's just trying to stick it to them. He never does that. He's not that kind of God. And one of the things I kept thinking was this. I kept thinking, well, God's gonna allow us. But here's the thing that God told me in my spirit. You need to watch very carefully whose table you sit at. You don't go and sit at any table. Now, I get that, and you're going to get that when I say this. There are some tables that I'm saying to you tonight that you don't belong at. You better not go there, because they're partaking of things, gossip. There may be gossip at that table. There may be hate at that table. You don't go to just any table. But you have a table prepared from the Lord. Communion. It's called the Lord's table. All are invited to come. All may come. So that's just a coming little advertisement for a message that I'm going to be doing on a Sunday morning a couple weeks from now, and actually have the table set up here that we had before the showbread. But it just gives you, I just wanted to give you that little tidbit, that when you see those things, when you see those memes that say, he prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies, and preachers start talking, you know, he's gonna shouting and saying, he's going to prepare a table for you, and your enemies are going to watch you, and they're going to see you eating at the table, those haters, those people. And here's how I pictured it in my spirit. If God prepared a table, and I had like a vision of Ken and I sitting, because we sit at this table, sitting at a table, and everything God had provided for us was on the table, which, you know, the table represents the cross, any table. And we're sitting at the table, and then all of our enemies are all around us, and we're just looking out there going, ha, 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 that's not the gospel message, because the table represents the cross. What we're supposed to do is say, come to the table. Hey, I got a chair here. I've pulled up a chair for you, and that's these chairs here. I love what Maribel said last night. She said, instead of sitting in the chairs, you need to find somebody else to come and sit in the chair. Even if you have to stand, find somebody else to come and sit in the chair. And I was so blessed by that message last night. But God is with us. He's for us. And this is going to be a very, very good year. But sometimes God wants to turn our theology literally upside down and right side up so that we can see things like they really are. Because often we see things wrong. And we hear things as people are talking about them that he prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. And boy, we start thinking, boy, that's going to be cool. That's going to be so cool when all them haters that did me wrong see me sitting on up here at the table. Wait a minute. You're at the table of the Lord. Wait a minute. And he has come for all. Let's stand and go before the Lord. And Dan, thank you so much for being so obedient to God and taking the time to prepare. And we pray for Dan in this new venture and job. He is a man of integrity, that God will be with him and will guide him. Father, we thank you for the testimony that we've just heard, Father, the testimony of a righteous man who you ordered his steps, Father God, and who you were able to speak to, Father God. The decision was already made before Dan made it. You made it in the heavens, Father God, and you led him to it, Father God, very gently and easily, Father God. Father, and we ask that you would now bless him like he's never been blessed before, that you would bless him abundantly, so much so that he would have so much that he could not contain it, that he would begin to bless other people, continue, I should say, to bless other people, Father God. Lord, I ask that you would prepare the hearts as he ministers to them, that all the leadership at that company would see that this is not just a good mechanic, but this is a good, godly man, and that they are blessed to have him. Father, I don't know why you led him there, but I pray that that dealership is blessed, that they continue to be blessed, Father God. Lord, I thank you for the people that are here tonight. Each and every one have testimonies of your goodness, oh God. Keep us faithful and in your care as we eat of your table daily. In the name of Jesus, amen. Have a wonderful evening. Come back Sunday. Make the decision to come back Monday.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.